All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, so I have a few updates. First of all, thank you so much again for the listener that let me know ICE was advertising on my platform. I found out that's been an issue with Spotify now. Other podcasters have dealt with it, people listening to their music, and people are leaving. So I encourage any of you using Spotify to contact them or leave and let them know, and let them know this is not okay. I am in the process of switching platforms. I had hoped it was just a fluke, but turns out this is actually an across-the-board issue with Spotify that apparently, of course, they're very aware of. And so, yeah, I will update you on the new hosting platform as soon as it's set. It's in process. And also, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to be switching the day from Thursday to Tuesday. I like to be really honest with all of you guys, and the reason is I've been doing research, really trying to grow this podcast, really hoping it can become bigger and more frequently, but I definitely need money for that. So apparently, algorithm-wise, Tuesday is actually the best day. And again, as I said, I'm really trying to grow this podcast. If you guys can please give it 5-star ratings, that helps so much more than people even realize, than I realized until recently, the amount it does help. I've just been delving in the past week how to grow this more. Please share it with your friends. And I so appreciate all of you who have been with me and all of you who are coming and just finding us. And again, I'm always really open for feedback as we grow. So thank you. Today's guest is Karen Dougherty. Karen is a psychic medium. And since the discovery of her abilities, Karen has worked tirelessly to those who need it the most. From the UK to USA and from Asia to Australia, she has clients all over the world. She offers readings and mentorships. And today we talk about the difference between psychic and mediumship, her abilities, when she first discovered she had abilities. Just always fascinating to learn more about what it's really like to be a psychic medium. She's a fascinating woman, and I'm sure you'll enjoy our conversation. And now for my conversation with Karen Dougherty. Welcome to What the Fuck Just Happened. I'm your host, Liz Enten. If you listened to the intro, you know my story. If not, here's a brief summary. I'm a science-y skeptic, and when my dad died, I took a shot in the dark and decided to investigate if there was any possible evidence of an afterlife. I assumed that was as realistic as Santa Claus, but I was desperate. However, I was so blown away by what I discovered that I wrote a book and launched this podcast. In this podcast, I'll be talking to some fairly normal people about some really weird shit. I speak with everyone from psychic mediums and afterlife researchers to ordinary people who've had some inexplicable experiences. So come, listen. There's no need to draw any final conclusions. Keep an open mind and wonder, what the fuck just happened? Hi, everyone. Today, I'm speaking with Karen Dougherty, psychic medium. Thank you so much for coming on, Karen. I'm excited to speak with you.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for asking.
So, welcome. When did you first realize you had mediumistic and psychic abilities?
I first realized it properly when I was in my teenage years, but I was having experiences from when I was very young, age maybe 3 or 4. Probably about 3, I remember memories at that time of seeing the spirit people and asking questions. And as I grew up, I often seen them and felt a presence, but it was really in my teenage years that I realized that not everyone got that. You know, I just kind of felt like it was normal, so everyone must see that. So it was probably later in my teens that I realized actually this is not the norm. And that's when I realized it was an ability.
How did you realize it was not the norm?
Just by speaking to friends and family and saying things, like I used to really get messages and communication for friends at times, you know, just spending the normal time with them and then suddenly realizing that their grandmother was standing beside them or giving them a message and saying, this is what I'm getting for you. And they would always kind of be like, oh, okay, you know, and they're the ones that kind of made it. That's not normal, like that we don't get that. So I started to realize actually from that age, I would probably say 13, 14, that this isn't what everybody does. And also at that age, I was already invested in reading mediumship books. I remember at the age of 10 buying a book of a medium over in England and reading her life story. I was just so fascinated by it. So it was there the whole time, but it just took a little bit of realization.
So were there medium abilities in your family, or how did you even realize this was mediumship and that it was something real was happening?
You know, it's really strange because nobody tells you it's mediumship. It's something that you feel. And even like at my youngest stage of remembrance about this, I remember knowing that the people that I was seeing were from the other place, as I would call it. So I knew there was another place. I knew there was a spirit place. So nobody actually sat down and told me that. But my grandmother on my dad's side, she was mediumistic. Not that she used her gift in that way or her ability, but she used to talk about spirit people. And when I used to tell her things, she'd say, oh, yes, you know, the dead don't harm you. And she just made it very normal and natural. So I kind of grew up knowing for sure there was a spirit world. And like I say, because I read up on it and followed mediums' work and things like that, I just inherently knew that it did exist.
Was there a time where maybe the first time it was highly verified, where you were like, wait, there's no denying because that checks out?
Yeah, I think that came when I would say things to people, friends and such like, and it was information I couldn't know. And they would say, how did you know that? Or where did you get that from? And that's when it started to really dawn on me that I am receiving this information. And later when I started to develop that ability, I sat in what we call a home circle, which is a development group. And the minute I sat down, I just suddenly felt like I was home. I just knew that what I was getting was correct information, and it was from those in the other world.
So just like was consistent, a life of getting things verified. And it sounds like you were in a community that was open to it, though, that at least was respectful and not telling you, oh, you're crazy. Or did you discover you did have pushback as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my grandmother, you know, like I say, she was very normal about it. She was just like, yeah, that's fine. My mum and dad didn't really take too much notice. I think they thought sometimes it was just a bit strange. My mum used to say, oh, I think we got Karen from the moon. You know, she just knew that I was different to my sisters, but she didn't know how. So she used to say I was from the moon because I was always taken with nature and the moon, and I was fascinated by things. And I just think that my parents just kind of thought I was a little bit different. But my grandmother used to say Karen always brings spirit with her, so she clocked onto it early. But outside of that, within the community, school, you know, work, all of that kind of thing, yeah, you got pushback. There was people that thought you were just a bit strange, or would say to me, it's rubbish, or, you know, and to be fair, I didn't really openly talk about it in those years because I knew that people didn't know what to see in that, you know, and I didn't want to appear so different to anyone else.
Yeah, I think most mediums seem to say they kind of hide it during their teen years. And, you know, it's an age, I guess, where, you know, there's so much judgment at that age and everyone kind of wants to be like everyone else, you know?
Yeah, you want to fit in. You want to fit in with your peers and fit in with your friends. And if you're too kind of seen as too like off the wall with something, you know that that's going to be a talking point.
Right, definitely. What does it even feel like when you get information? How do you experience it?
You know, it feels amazing to me. It feels like I'm home. So when I'm making that connection to the loved ones in spirit, or my guides and helpers, you know, for myself and my own development, it just feels like it's my true connection. It's where I'm supposed to be. And it just feels very, very real because it is. And when I'm communicating for other people, when I'm giving readings or, you know, doing events and things, it really is quite euphoric at the end of it. You do feel like that was amazing that that granddad in the spirit world was able to tell me everything that he did, or that mother in the spirit side got all of that information to me. And I get amazed by it as well. It's not like I ever take it for granted. It's something that I always thank spirit for, and it's always something that I'm in awe of myself. So it feels quite amazing. It is tiring, it is exhausting at the same time, but so is any type of work that you're putting everything into.
Do you see, is it like, you know, I guess the terms used in this world, like clairaudient, where you hear, what types of ways do you get the information, or methodology, or?
Yeah, it's, you're right to mention the clairs. It's all of those. So clairaudience is clear hearing, clairsentience is clear feeling, and clairvoyance is clear seeing. Claircognizance is a clear knowing. So all of the above are used in the communication. So sometimes I will see spirit, not with my physical eyes. I'll see them with my, what I call my spirit eyes or my spirit ears, and I'll feel every part of that, you know. So everything works in conjunction with one another. And I know that some mediums you'll hear say they're mainly clairvoyant or they're mainly clairsentient, but really we all use every part of it. Sometimes we have a stronger faculty than the other, but they're all used, and it's so that the spirit world can communicate as quickly as they can, because it's a very hard thing for spirit to do is make communication from the other world, and it's not like picking up a telephone. So they have to use the time and on that frequency, that vibration, as quickly as possible to get the information to the medium. So they'll use every way they can do that.
Why is it so hard for them?
Because they're not in a physical realm, they're not in a physical world. So it's almost like, if you can imagine two different radio shows playing at the same time, broadcasting at the same time, but on completely different frequencies. And that's what it's like. The energy is different. So when I tap into the spirit world, it's a very, very fast vibrational energy. It's very fast. I don't even know that the human mind can perceive that properly. And so I have to, as the medium, what my ability is I'm able to speed mine up and they slow theirs down as well. And in the middle, we call it the blending, and that's where the information is communicated. So they have to work hard at doing that too.
That makes sense. I mean, two different dimensions. I liked your explanation of almost like two different radio stations. Now, from what I understand also, I know we've talked about this a bit on the podcast, but it seems a little different for everyone. There's a difference between psychic information and medium information, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Psychic's more, every one of us here are psychic. So when we come, because we come from the spirit world and we're born into the physical sense, then we have our psychic ability that we have in the spirit side, right? So it's a mind-to-mind communication. So some people will call that intuition. Some people will say sixth sense. Some people will say they've just got a hunch about something. All of that is their psychic ability. Now, some people can develop that to work with it. Some people will just develop it for themselves, and some people won't even be aware of it. It's just the way it is. So that's a psychic ability. Now, every one of us is psychic. So psychic means I can tune into the person in front of me, or I can tune into a situation that's in the physical side of life and read that situation using my psychic ability. Mediumship is about connecting with those that have crossed over. So your ability then is taken to the spirit side of things. So it's a much different way of having that ability. So that's where they say psychic and mediumship is different.
Do they feel different? What is it like?
It does feel different. And it's quite surprising, because when I first started my development, I didn't really at that point, it was just like I was opening my mouth and saying what I got, because I didn't understand where it was coming from, and I just knew the information. So when I started to actually break that down and understand the mechanics of my mediumship, I started to realize that it felt very different. So when I'm working psychically, although I'm still gaining that information and tuning in and tapping into that, it feels very static. It feels like it's just information. When I'm communicating with loved ones through my mediumship, they're very much alive. It's a huge energy. It's a huge presence. And it's almost like they're sitting right beside me physically in the room, and I can, you know, converse with them. So there is a complete difference in the two ways of getting the information.
You said before, too, that everyone, all of us actually, have psychic abilities of varying degrees. Does that apply to mediumistic abilities as well?
You know, there's a mixed belief about that. I hear some mediums saying everyone can communicate with the other world. My feeling on it is we're all very psychic. We can develop that. We're also able to connect with our own loved ones in the spirit world through meditation or just feeling their presence. So in that respect, yes, we can all feel the spirit world to some degree. Even if it's a very small degree, we can still feel our loved ones. But mediums, I feel, are born natural mediums. They're meant to do that work. They're meant to be able to bridge the gap between the physical world and the spirit world. And so I feel, from my experience, it is a natural thing. And it's usually within the family, even if it skips generations, it's usually there's a lineage of that within the family as well. But like I say, psychically, everyone can develop that to a degree. It doesn't mean that you can develop it to become a psychic and do readings for people, but you can certainly develop your own psychic ability. And likewise, you can develop your own way of feeling your loved ones in the spirit world. You can definitely do that. But to be a medium, I think you're born to do that.
That makes sense. And I think most of us just really would want the abilities to talk to our own people, you know, not really to do it for a career. But I would say 100% of the world would want to talk to their loved ones and feel them around.
Absolutely.
So how can we do that? Because I don't think it's natural to most of us.
Yeah, you know, I think that life's very busy, isn't it? And in your day-to-day life, who's got time to settle themselves down and really, because to listen to the spirit world or to feel the spirit world around, you've got to know how to get to that quiet place. And I feel that that starts with knowing that you are spirit, knowing that you can connect with your own spirit first and foremost. So that higher part of yourself that connects with the spirit world is within you. So I think the first thing I would recommend for people is meditation. And I know that sometimes people say, oh, I can't meditate, my life's too busy, or my head's too busy, my mind doesn't settle down. And that's quite normal. And I think that people have this vision of meditation as if they have to sit in a quiet room for an hour and still their mind. And it doesn't need to be like that. It could be that you take a walk in nature. It could be that you sit, you know, in your garden or sit in your front room and just have a quiet time, switch the TV off, put your phone down, and just really start to be at peace and feel your own blending, first of all. And when you can really go into that center of your being, then it's about asking the spirit world to step forward, give you the signs that they are there, and really monitoring the difference in energy that you feel at that point. The problem is people think it's their imagination. People will say, oh, maybe I just wanted to speak to my mum so badly that I was putting that there, you know? And sometimes it will be imagination, unfortunately. The mind is a very powerful thing. But if you can make a practice of doing things like that, like just getting into that quiet space, that center, you will start to become aware, and it is a very subtle energy. People look for massive energy. People look for massive, you know, like someone appearing in front of them, and it just doesn't work like that. If it was to be like that, we wouldn't need mediums. You know, everyone would have their own proof. So it's very subtle, and it's accepting that it's very subtle.
Is there a way then to tell the difference between your own imagination and your loved ones? Because, you know, I walk around, I'm always thinking of what my dad would say or my mentor, and it's like I'll laugh, I'll feel like they're saying it, but I also know I'm thinking about them, and I
what would be the difference between them communicating with me and me just remembering and being like, oh, I know my dad would say that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because we do have the memories and we do know their character and what they would say in certain situations. So it is difficult. But I would say if communication drops in from the spirit world, like let's say you weren't thinking about your dad in that moment, you know, you were busy with whatever you were doing, and then all of a sudden you heard your dad say something in your mind, or you felt that he was there, then that's when I would say to take notice that they are impressing that upon you and letting you know that they are there. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't make a communication. You know, like if you were wanting to speak to your dad and ask him a question and you hear the answer coming back to you, that can still very well be your dad answering that question. And sometimes we put that down to our imagination and say, oh, that's because I was looking for an answer, or that's what I think my dad would say. I feel that the more you develop that, the more you sit with that, and the more you practice that, that's when you will learn to differentiate between imagination and, you know, your connection. And the other thing I would say as well is it's all about feeling. So if you really feel within your soul that it was your dad speaking to you, believe it. If it's something where it's more like a bit of a thought process rather than any feeling connected to it, I would probably say it's more your own thoughts.
Hi, if you haven't read them yet, please be sure to check out my books, which detail my journey from complete atheist skeptic thinking there's zero chance of an afterlife to atheist skeptic thinking there's like a 95% chance of an afterlife. So if you haven't read them, you can check them out. Book one, WTF Just Happened, A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife, and book two, WTF Just Happened, A Sciencey Skeptic Investigates Even More Evidence of an Afterlife and Fights for Justice with Her Dead Dog. They're available wherever books are sold. Now back to the episode.
If it's something where it's more like a bit of a thought process rather than any feeling connected to it, I would probably say it's more
than your own thoughts. You know, you obviously want it to be true so badly, you know? But, you know, signs. I know that's a thing I hear about. Can you maybe explain what signs are and ways, any tips you have on getting signs or seeing them?
Yeah, if anyone looks for signs, and it's a question that I get asked all the time as a medium, you know, was that a sign or what are the signs? And people talk about birds, they talk about feathers, they talk about coins, you know, all of these are quite common. Angel numbers, you know, when you're seeing double numbers all the time. These are all quite common signs. And I would say, personally, if something comes at you and it's totally random, like if a feather appears in your front room, or you were just thinking about your mum in the spirit world and her favourite song comes on the radio, you know, these are the signs that I would pay attention to, the random ones. If there is, because some people will look for things too much, and let's say it's something that would make complete sense in the physical. So let's say there was a flock of birds going by your garden, then you're not going to say, oh, the feather appeared from nowhere. So I think if you use logic with it as well, for me, the signs are definitely more random or at a time when you weren't thinking of that. Or like the other day, I was thinking of a question and I was asking spirit to give me some guidance on something, and right in front of me, a van came right in front of me. I was driving at the time, came right in front of me, and on the back of the van, the company name was the name of the person that I was thinking of. So I'm like, okay, got it. You know, you're listening. So signs can come in like that, and it is a very random. Number plates, you know, are another one as well, where you can get signs that way. So all of these things, you can say it's coincidence. People will say, oh, that was just coincidence at that time. I wouldn't let someone put the doubt in your mind. I say if it's come at a time where you weren't asking for it necessarily, or it was quite random the way it happened, then believe it to be true.
And do you have any good tips for setting up a sign with your loved one? Or how would you even pick to be like, that's this loved one's sign? Let's say, like, would you have a different sign from like your grandma versus your dad versus your grandpa?
You might find that that happens anyway. I mean, I don't know that I'm a big believer in saying to someone before the, let's say you know someone's going to pass over. People will say, well, we've sorted a certain sign. And if that comes, I know it's them communicating. Now, I'm not saying not to do that. I think if you have that conversation with your loved one, that's a wonderful thing. But the only thing that I feel sad about with that is if they can't get that sign to you, you're going to think that they're not there, and they are there. So you have to be careful of that one. But as in different things for different people, well, I would say dependent on their personalities and their character, like my grandfather always used to say to us when he was here, here's a shilling, and that's old money, that's old British money, and it means 5 pence, right? So 5 cents, 5 pence. So when my granddad passed away, all of a sudden me and my sisters and my mum used to find these 5 pences everywhere. They were just like random, in the most random places, and would say, oh, that's granddad, because he always used to say, here's a shilling. That was his thing. Whereas my grandmother, she always had this very strong perfume, and we didn't actually know what the perfume was, and we only met her twice in our life because my mum was fostered, so she didn't know her mum, but we met her twice when my mum was an adult, and would just remember this strong scent. And after she passed away, sometimes the house would be filled with that scent. So we knew that that's her. So I think everyone will have their own way of communication, because they will play on your memory of them. They will use reference that you would understand so that you know that it's them.
I know that you said you sometimes, as I guess it's typical, a psychic, you'll get information about the future. What does that mean? Like, is it set in stone? Is it changeable?
Yeah, I think that our paths are to a degree predetermined with some things, meaning the people that come into our lives, the choices that we get given in front of us, the opportunities. We all have free will, so there's no set pattern. There's something that might be happening in our life, or something that we are maybe supposed to do, but we have the free will to say yes or no. So let's say someone comes into your life and you enter into a relationship with them, and the relationship ends up not being the relationship that you hoped for. That person was still meant to come into your life. It's up to you then to find the power to differentiate what's for you and what's not for you. So things will come in our lives that way, and we still have to make the choice. But as far as a medium or psychic picking up the future, we will definitely pick up the potential for things. Like I will say to clients all the time, you know, oh, I can see X, Y, and Z happening by June or September or whatever it might be. But it still depends on the person's choice. That's not set in stone, because dependent on what their choice is, that might not happen. So a medium can only pick up on the potential for what's there. And quite often we will know as well psychically what that person's going to choose to do, but we are not allowed to influence their life. I always remember a woman coming to see me years ago, and she couldn't make her mind up whether to marry the man she was with or not. And I could see the wedding, I could see that it was there, the potential for it was there, but I also knew that she's not, you know, this isn't the right road for her. But I couldn't say that, because I'm not allowed to influence that woman's life. I've just to say, well, the choice is, you know, and the wedding is there, should you want it, kind of thing. And I do know that she married him, and I do know that then they divorced quickly after. But that was obviously something that she had to go through in her human life, because we have to also remember that we are evolving all the time and learning from every situation. So as much as something can be set in stone, as in the medium picking up on it, it doesn't mean that it will go to plan.
Now, you said you're not supposed to influence anyone's life. Is that like your personal values? Is that something that's coming from your guides or spirits or whatever?
I think both. I think morally, it's not right for me to tell someone what they should do with their life just because I feel that I'm getting it from the spirit world. I mean, you've got to remember too that mediums can be wrong. And, you know, mediums are not all knowing. Mediums can misinterpret information. We can get the download from the spirit world and misinterpret it. And so what would happen then if we were misinterpreting something, but we influenced that person's life? That wouldn't be correct. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. So in that vein, we really can't influence, and we shouldn't want to influence, because this life is about empowering people, and this work is about letting people understand that they are powerful, they can make their choice, they do have a higher side to their spirit, that they can tap into to get that information. So it's really more about that and laying out in front of the person what's there, but making it their choice. It's a huge responsibility being a medium. And you've got to remember too that people come to you when they're lost in their life, either through grief or through life situations. And I think you learn as a medium when you're younger in your mediumship to not do that, because I remember way back at the beginning, a lady came to me, and again, it was about a marriage, and I could see the divorce was there. I could see that she wasn't happy and there was things going on. And that all came out in the reading. And she went home and told her husband at the time, the medium said that I've got to divorce you. And the man came to my door. He actually came to my door and he was really not happy person. So that taught me a lesson, like be careful with the way you say things. Even though I hadn't said it like that, she picked it up like that because she wanted somebody to tell her what to do because she was lost. So you've got to understand people are very vulnerable when they come to you as a medium, and you've got to take care of them. And that's what mediumship is caring for the person.
Yeah, it is a very vulnerable time when you're going. And is there a time like that people should wait to see a medium? I mean, should someone go after a certain amount of time after a loss?
I don't personally put a time frame on it. I think that you should go when you feel ready to go. From the spirit's point of view, there's no time frame. Like people in the past have said, oh, you've got to wait for a year, or they're not ready to communicate, they can't communicate straight away. But that's not true. I've had spirit coming through within a day of their passing. So for them, there is no time frame as such. Now, that to break that down, they do need to learn the communication skills as well to communicate through a medium. So it might mean that you can get a reading, but it's not as strong as it would be a few months down the line or a couple of years down the line. But the medium should know that, and the medium would always be able to tell you if they're a reputable medium. I would always say to someone, I'm not getting this link very strongly today, so let's try again, you know. But the other side of it from the human perspective is that, are you ready for that reading? You know, like when you're in grief, when you're in deep grief, it might be too emotional. It might be too much. So it's got to be where your emotions are settled and you can handle that communication as well. So from both sides, I feel like it happens at the right time usually. If I feel somebody's jumped into it and they're not ready for that, I will say to them, you know, are you sure you want to go ahead with this? Because we can try again in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it might be. Again, the medium really should be taking care of the person that's sitting in front of them, understanding that they're in a place of grief or loss, and understanding that that's the need that they've got at that moment.
Actually, I have another question going back a little bit to the future. And are there ever times you would give advice, like where you get emergency information, like where it would just be, I mean, the divorce isn't great, but it's not like a fatal accident. Do you ever get information like that? And you're like, and I don't want to like put words in your mouth or anything or tell you, but I would think that would be a situation you're almost would feel morally obligated to tell the person. I mean, are those situations you do get confronted with?
Sometimes, you know, you can pick up on something where you know that that is not like a warning, but you kind of know that that's not the right place for that person to be, or that's not the right decision for them to make. And if it was something that was going to be detrimental to their life, then yes, you know, you're going to be able to say that in a certain way. Yeah, always with diplomacy, but you're going so never to frighten the person or never to say something that's going to put them in a place of fear. So yeah, I would definitely, if I felt strongly enough about something, I would. And even for myself, you know, as a medium, I have had warnings of things for me and took no notice at certain points. And really, as a medium, I should have taken notice. And mine was a car accident, actually. And I got all of the thought processes, all of the communication, all the way up on my journey, and just kept thinking, why am I thinking that? And I kept putting it out of my mind. And then I had a terrible car accident that I was very lucky to walk away from. And I was getting those warnings, but because it was for me, I was just like in my own little world, you know, thinking, oh, I don't know why I'm thinking that. And when I look back, I think, of course you were getting that. Like, of course they were going to tell you that. So it's sometimes you're so aware for other people, but you're not so aware for yourself.
Because you're still a person, you know? It seems like mediums have you know, before I started really delving in, I was like, oh, I bet mediums never grieve and they must like be married by 25 because they know to find the right person and never divorced. And, you know, just all the things. I'm like, wait, all you guys are the same as the rest of us.
Yeah, we're human. You know, we're human. We have the same lessons to learn as everyone else. I think that sometimes people think that because you're a medium, like you know everything in your life, you can map your life out accordingly because you've got all the answers. But really, no, we don't. You know, we've got to go through the same heartbreaks and the same lessons and the same grief and even losing people to the spirit world. So like my mum's over in the spirit world now. And, you know, we had to go through the same amount of grief. You know, it was still my mum and it doesn't matter that I know where she is. I mean, it's a blessing that I know where she is and it's a blessing that I know she truly is still there. And for that, I'll always be grateful. But I still had to go through the grief of not having her in the physical. I still, you know, my children still miss their nana, you know, with like we, my children still grieve for her and that brings me that grief as well. So we still have to go through every human emotion. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop us. And also on that note, it doesn't mean that we have this telephone line to the spirit world. So I can't talk to my mum more than you could talk to yours if she was over there. You know, it's just, that's the way it is. We don't get a special pass just because we're mediums.
Yeah, I've come to learn that in the beginning too. I also thought I wasn't sure if it was real when I started researching, but I was like, given it is, I've got to like get a certain level of evidence and see if I can develop abilities because then I'll never feel grief again. I mean, I think I thought there was some tipping point where you could be exempt from grief, but it seems like no one is. That's just part of being a person.
It's part of life. It's part of, you know, understanding what loss means. And it's also part of giving you the value of life. You know, like if you didn't experience loss or grief, then how do you compare that? How do you put the value on life then? So we all have to go through these things to realize that.
We were talking a little bit about how long to wait till you get a reading and that some people, or, you know, when people pass over, they need to learn to communicate or get stronger energies or however it works. Have you noticed, are there some people that are just much better communicators? Like would someone who was a medium here be so much better when they cross over?
You know, not really, no. I don't think it works like that. If you're a medium here, you'll know automatically how to do it from there because you've still got to then find a medium to work through. So, you know, the communication skills that they need from the spirit world, yes, they know where we are and they know how to do it. But it's still that they've got to work through a human being to get the messages out. So that medium here in the physical still has to develop their ability to be able to do that for the loved one in the spirit or the medium in the spirit side. So I don't know that there's any rhyme or reason to who's better at communicating over there, but for sure there are better communicators than others. There is an energy shift as well where dependent on what the medium's going through. So if I, let's say I'm having a really hard week or I've been ill or something unwell, then my energy levels are not going to be the same. So then the communication is going to feel harder. It's going to be harder to reach the spirit world. So a medium has to take care of their own energy as well and understand that we are human and that the human things will happen to us. And so, you know, you can't just keep working and like that. You can't work 24/7. You can't, you know, keep working every day of the week. You just can't do it. Your own energy levels will impact the quality of the reading.
And I know one thing you'd mentioned and what you sent to me was that people on the other side grieve and you're healing both sides. Can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, because I think that also when we think, if I, as a medium, if I say to someone, oh, your dad's here, he's all right, he's on the other side, that doesn't mean I'm saying your dad's totally fine, he knows where he is and he's happy. That doesn't mean that. What that means is he knows that he's back home, he knows that he is safe and sound, and he knows that he can still be with you and that he lives on. Now, that doesn't stop that father in the spirit side wishing that he was here physically. It doesn't stop him watching his family in grief and not being able to really help that grief. So he's still going to grieve for his physical life in that respect. He still wants to be able to sit down to tea with his family or hug his children or, you know, enjoy his life. So they have a grief of the physical life. So when I'm working with them and then working with you, we're passing the communication back and forward, but what that should be doing is healing the father in the spirit world, because he's gotten to speak to his loved one, and that will make him feel at ease because they then know that he's there and that he's real. And it will also ease the grief of the loved one that's here, because they will know that their father is there. So it's a healing that takes place on both sides. The communication really does provide that for both sides.
Do you ever get any insight in what it's actually like on the other side? Like, what do people do?
Now and again, I would say sometimes, not all the time. I know that from my own spirit team, that there's, you've still got to evolve on the other side. I know that there's things that you can choose to do. You can choose to keep evolving through the different levels in the spirit world, or you can choose to be a guide. You know, once you're at a certain level of evolvement, you can then be a guide or a helper to someone else. So I know that all of that goes on. And I think that we still have free will over there. So it's like we can choose where we want to go or what we want to do. And there's been a few occasions over the many years of working that I've picked up on what the loved one is doing. Like, you know, might occasionally come up with, this lady has just told me that she is helping young ones cross over to the other side. You know, people that maybe passed away tragically, or suddenly young children or whatever, they're helping them cross over, or they're there for them. So we can choose to do things like that as well, but you don't often get that. It's always more about proving that they're still alive than finding out what they're doing. And it's really funny because I feel like sometimes people need to know what they're doing, like especially if it's a spouse.
Hey everyone, I'm really excited to let you know about the Science and Spirituality Salons I'm now hosting. During these intimate events, a scientifically verified psychic medium will give all of you readings, and I will give a talk on the science and evidence that changed my mind about an afterlife. This will also be an amazing opportunity to get to meet some of you in person or virtually, and to share more about all the science and data that transformed my worldview and got me through my worst days. These can be hosted in your home, in a nearby cafe with a private room, or they can even be virtual. I've hosted a few already, and they were really special, fascinating, emotional, evidential. So if you're interested in getting a small group together over dinner, brunch, drinks, coffee, to learn more about the science and to get evidential medium readings, send me an email at hello@wtfjusthappened.net and put science and spirituality in the title.
Need to know what they're doing, like especially if it's a spouse. I've heard, you know, lots of times, you know, what are they doing? Will they leave me? What if I get married again? Does that mean that when I go over, I don't get to be with that person? And so there are many, many questions, but I do feel like they just go on with their own involvement in whichever way they want to do that, but they stay with us at the same time.
Are we definitely able to see our loved ones as soon as we cross? I remember when I first started studying this, I was like, okay, if it's true, what if we can't find each other? Do you always find your loved ones when you cross?
Yeah, you always do, because we were part of that soul family before we came here. So before you come here, you know who you're going to, you know who your parents are, you know where you're going. And that is a soul family, and those bonds are never broken. So when we go over there, you know, instantly you'll be with the people that love you and the people that you know. And even if it's somebody you didn't know in the lifetime, let's say like a great-great-grandmother, that great-great-grandmother will still be there. So we are always met with that love of our family or our loved ones, whoever we were connected to. And so there's never really anybody that's going to cross over alone. There's never, that's why I say to people who maybe couldn't get there to say their final goodbye or weren't with the person when they pass, I always say, please don't worry, because when we are making that crossing over, when we're making that transition, we are looking forward, not back at our human life. We are looking to see and connect with who is there in front of us, because we never pass away alone, never. So if there is anyone listening that worries about that, not getting to be there, your loved one has never been alone. They will be with their loved ones.
I'm sure that's encouraging to anyone hearing that. You talk quite a bit about guides, and do we all have spirit guides, or is that a medium thing?
No, we all have them. I think that it's seen as a medium thing. I think that because mediums talk about it, then people that aren't mediums just think it's for only mediums, but it's not. We all have what I call a spirit team. So it's not one guide. There's many different guides throughout your life that will come in and out as you develop. It's like saying a year one teacher will be there in year one, a year five teacher will be there in year five. Different teachers will come and go dependent on what you need at your stage of development and evolvement in your life. And I'm talking about your human life, not mediumship life. So we all have this spirit team behind us that we can ask for help, we can ask for guidance, but we also have our higher self, which is that part of us that's still very much connected to spirit. It is spirit. And we do have answers and knowledge there if we choose to tap into it. Some people will just call it your inner voice, you know, but sometimes I think what happens with us is that we don't really want that answer. You know, we might know that something's not good for us, or we might feel like, I really shouldn't be making that decision, but I want to make that decision. And that's the battle between the ego and the spirit. And then afterwards, we always say, I knew I shouldn't have done that, or I knew that was the wrong thing to do. And it's just because it's a lesson, you know, it's the only way we can say it. But that inner voice that tells you initially that's not for you is your spirit talking to you. So we can all kind of tap into that as well.
Who are our spirit guides? Are they like great grandparents? Are they people who used to be human?
So our guides are never our loved ones. So I always like to say that our loved ones kind of become our guardians, like they're always there. But if dad's over in the spirit world, then he's still your dad. You know, he doesn't suddenly become a guide. So I would say he becomes like your guardian. He wants to watch over you and he wants to help you in life. But our guides are kind of assigned to us before we come here in many ways. And usually guides are souls that have evolved and developed over in the spirit world. Now, sometimes they have walked this earth, but sometimes they've never walked this earth. Sometimes they're spirit guides. They're from the higher realms. So getting to know your guides can be a long process. And it's something that I think for a long time on the internet and social media, everybody encourages you, you've got to get to know your guides. And as a medium, when I have students, I always say, yes, by all means, build your relationship up with your spirit team, but don't rush into that. It's not the be all and end all. You don't have to know. It'll come to you at a point where it should. And if you want to develop that side and get to know your guides and your helpers, you can do that through meditation and such like. But it's not a necessity. Just trust that they are there. And I know a few of my guides over the years, you know, coming and going. I know which guides come in at certain points. But there's no way that I know all my guides, because there's other ones that will be there that I've never met yet or built a relationship with. So loved ones are guardians, I would say, but your guides are assigned to you from the spirit side.
And would guides have multiple people they're taking care of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or are they just yours?
No, I think that they'll be guiding others as well. You know, I don't feel like it's one guide for one person. I feel like they can guide as many as they choose to. I always feel like there's a reason that you make that connection. Like I know that one of my guides who I met quite early on in my mediumship, he is called Michael, and he did walk this earth and he died in his 20s, I think 24, and he was a musician. And he told me that he played the violin, actually. He was a musician, played the violin. And he just felt that he didn't get to share his gift with the world because he died so young. And he wanted to help me with my ability so that I shared mine with people. And that's what he told me when we first built our relationship up. So you will get the stories of some of your guys, not them all, but you will get the stories of some of them.
And do you ever like go research and verify and old records and like get a last name and see if they match up with anyone?
Sometimes, not often. I mean, I've had a few times where things have come in and I've looked it up, and it's been quite astounding. You'll always get information like that, I feel, that you want to verify and look for, and that has happened for another guide that I'm linked with, and I couldn't believe the way the information came because I didn't have a clue what any of it meant. And when I looked it up, it all just fitted into place and it was all there in black and white. So sometimes you will get that, and I think that comes when your own skeptical mind's coming into it and they want to give you something that you can go and verify so that you can trust that that's what you're getting.
And is there the most mind-blowing like verification you've gotten of anything, whether it was in a reading or a personal experience, like a sign? What would you say, what we call like the biggest what the fuck that you've experienced?
You know, I think there's many over the years, many through readings for other people and getting verifications where you're just like, how did I even get that information? I can't believe that. I think there was one early on in my mediumship and I was just really a fledgling. Like I just had started out on the development. I really didn't know what I was doing. I knew that I was hearing things and seeing things, but I didn't know what mediumship was really or how to work the mediumship. And I did a meditation and I remember this gentleman appeared to me in my meditation and I was looking at him and I was like, he looks like he's dressed in robes like the Pope. That's the only thing that came to mind. And he told me the name Peter and I was like, okay. And then he left. And as he left, he said, Amadeus. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know what that meant. And I'd heard the word in a song, I think from the 80s or the 90s, but I didn't know what it meant. So I was telling my father the next day, because he was always quite interested in what I was doing with my development. And I was saying, this man came, you know, and I thought he looks like the Pope, but he told me his name was Peter. And my dad is from a religious background. I wasn't. And he said, you do know that the first Pope was considered to be Peter. I'm not saying that he was the Pope, the official Pope, in the Bible. And I said, I didn't know that. Like, I wouldn't know that because I hadn't studied that. And then I said, Amadeus. And he went, I don't know what that means. He said, let's look it up. So we went and we Googled the meaning of Amadeus. And the meaning of Amadeus is God's love. And for me, the way that that came through and the questions that I was asking in my meditation were about, is this the right thing for me to do? Am I a medium? Am I supposed to deliver communication? And I was asking all of these questions. So for me, that was huge because for me, that was like, yes, this is with God's love. This is for you, you know? So, but there's been over the years, there's many, many different ones.
It must be very satisfying or very, I don't know. I just still get mind blown when I see this work. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's really, I will kind of refer to it as the most amazing science we're able to see. Because I can't just go, you know, fly to out into deep space. I mean, no one can. It's just the most remarkable stuff we actually have access to that kind of just blows me away, you know.
I agree. And I think that people they can't get their mind around it sometimes. And I understand that because when I started, even though I knew about mediumship and had followed mediumship and I knew it was natural and it was just part of me, I was still skeptical. I would still be asking questions like, how did I get that information then? How did that lady in the spirit world manage to give me that information? And I was kind of trying to understand it because my mind's, I've got quite a logical mind. So for me, it was like, well, I need to know how I'm getting that, you know, and I wanted to investigate it that way. But mediumship isn't like that. Mediumship is an acceptance and a surrender to the powers that you can't see, but you can feel. So when I started to learn to surrender rather than ask questions, it just became so much more intense for me and such a, you know, a bigger connection for me. And it, going into that connection really is my life now. You know, it's like if I don't have that connection, I would feel lost. I know there's been times in my life where, you know, let's say moving house or stressful times, divorce, you know, I've been through all of that. And I was the one thing that kept me there was I just need to connect with spirit today. And as long as I connect with them, I'm fine. It just keeps me balanced. So I think once you recognize that as such a big part of you, then it's something you should practice.
Are you able to turn it off? Like, do you go to parties and you're just at a normal party and you'll start getting messages from people's loved ones or just know stuff about them you don't want to know because it feels invasive? How do you deal with that? Is that something you have to deal with?
Now and again, sometimes. So the answer to that is when I'm doing something that doesn't involve my work, I'm focused on that. So really, therefore, I'm not really there to listen to the spirit world or hear them. But sometimes they will come in anyway. So I've been two occasions that jumped to mind. One was on a train and I was going down to England to work from Scotland. And the woman sitting across from me on the train, I could feel her husband in the spirit world. And he was talking to me and he was telling me that her name was Margaret and that I had to tell her that he was there. And I kept saying to him, I can't approach a stranger and just start telling her these things. So I said to him, if you want me to do this, she needs to open the conversation. So in the next 10 minutes, the woman said to me, oh, hi, you know, I'm just traveling down the road. And she was chatting away. What are you doing? I said, I'm going down to work. And she said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a medium. And she said, I love mediumship. I absolutely love it. And I said, well, is your name Margaret? And she said, yes. And I said, I have got your husband here. And he's been quite insistent that I talk to you. So I gave her like this reading on the train. And it was quite apt because he'd only passed away 6 weeks before. And he was worrying about her. And she had been up in Scotland closing their business down and stuff. So that all came out in the reading. And when she got off the train, she was like, I can't believe that happened. I'm so grateful. It's, you know, made a difference. And it was nothing to do with me. It was to do with him being insistent on passing that on. But on another occasion, I was at a massive concert in Scotland. It was Barry Manilow, actually. And my mum loved Barry Manilow. So we used to take her to the concerts. And I kept hearing this gentleman communicating with me in the middle of a massive venue, telling me that his wife was in front of me and that he had lost a leg before he passed over. He'd had an amputation. And I had to tell her, and I couldn't possibly in the middle of like a massive concert say, excuse me, I've got your husband here. So sometimes I'll still pick up on things, but I can't really pass it on. Other times, randomly, it can happen, but it's only if the setting is right and it should be passed on.
You know, you had said before that all of us have mediumship abilities to an extent, but only some people, as with most careers in life, we're not meant to do everything. Only some people are really born to be a medium. Now, how can you tell the difference? Because I know there's some people after a loss, they start getting some information and think that that's what they're supposed to do. Maybe some are and some aren't. How can you even tell the difference?
Yeah, I think that it can happen where grief of losing someone, if you're a natural medium, can unlock that mediumship. So I do think that some people will and can just notice it from then on. But for the main part, I would say that people that are hearing the spirit world or getting messages from their own loved ones should see it as that, you know, like it's not like they're picking messages up for other people or feeling other spirit people. So if you are feeling those things and it is your own loved ones, I would say that's because you've got a very strong connection with your own people rather than being a medium and going out in the world and reading for other people. So I guess it comes at what you feel is correct. The other thing as well, of course, is that when people are going through loss and experiencing that, they really want to just develop a strong connection to their loved ones. So maybe some people then start to look at mediumship to do that. But you don't have to become a medium for other people to have that connection. It has to be your own development. And I guess now with the power of social media and all the courses that are online, you know, do a 6-week course and I'm going to tell you, get a certificate at the end of it and it means you're a medium. And none of that's right. You know, I don't agree with that. I think that for teachers, I teach as well and a mentor, but I would never say to someone, I can make you a medium. Because if someone comes to me and says they're having some sort of experience, I will gauge what the experience is first. And if it is where I feel, you know, they do have a potential for mediumship or there is a potential for them carrying that on, then it's still about them. It's not about me telling them they can be a medium because I don't have that power to make someone a medium. It's just about sharing and enhancing and helping them and mentoring them on their journey. But most people after a loss will feel spirit around them. But I think most it's about just that connection to spirit to give them that proof.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want me to ask you? Anything else you'd like to share?
No, I think that we've covered a lot. I know it's a massive subject and, you know, you can talk about it all day in different aspects of it all. But the one thing I would say is, you know, being a medium is, for me, it's a blessing. It's something that I want to help and heal people and help the spirit world. And it always comes from that place. It's almost like a calling. It's a vocation rather than a choice. But for those people that are, well, for those people, first of all, that have that too and, you know, want to develop that too, then I would urge them to do it. But always remember that it will change the landscape of your life, because the personal development you go through when you do development for mediumship is huge. Like, you, your view of the world changes, your view of how you deal with things in life changes. So there is a lot of personal development that comes into it as well. And for those that maybe aren't mediums and don't feel that they're mediums, but they have that link with spirit, or they want more link with spirit, then meditate, get to know yourself, get to know what your own power is, because starting off with your own spirit is the way to do it. Getting to know yourself inside with that inner voice, with that higher self, is definitely the way to do that.
And lastly, where can our listeners find you, follow you, take a course with you, get a reading, all of that?
So all of that is on my website, which is karendocherty.com. So D-O-C-H-E-R-T-Y, karendocherty.com. Everything's on there. All my podcasts go on there. All the information about mentorships, readings, everything you can find there.
Two of the things that I loved are paranormal and true crime. What if we mix the two together? Bring in actual homicide investigators and a paranormal team and see if we could solve some of these old mysteries in Los Angeles.
The night of the murder, we could hear, "Don't kill me."
She knew she was gonna die.
A woman screams, more blows, and then it goes silent.
There's just death everywhere.
They called them chain murders.
I feel like I'm in a horror movie right now.
The links between our cases are quite significant.
I've never wanted to call a house alive in my life, but that's what it feels like.
I know that we're gonna find some evidence that nobody's found before.
I feel like I'm following a trail of blood.
We're like a piranha with a porterhouse when we get a case. We don't let go.
Bigger, darker energies will come out when they need to feed, and that's off people's souls.
The secrets are the only thing left.
Voices from the Grave, a new true crime paranormal supergenre, premiering December 13th, only on YouTube. Like and subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Voices from the Grave. See you there.
To get more information on what the fuck just happened, go to WTFjustHappened.net. There, you can order my book, WTF Just Happened, A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife. You can learn all about how I came to conclude that there most likely is an afterlife, but you can also learn about the early stages of my grief and the amazing, fascinating people I met along the way. You can read about how much I harassed the mediums and scientists trying to get evidence to see if the mediums were cheating and see if what everyone was saying actually was true. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to stay updated on any new developments and any interesting new what the fuck updates. So if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It makes such a difference, especially for a new podcast like this one. And if any of you have had a crazy what the fuck yourself, have any questions, feedback, or just want to say hey, reach out on either Instagram at WTF_just_happened_, or email me at hello@WTFjustHappened.net. I love hearing from all of you. It makes my day hearing your stories and questions and feedback and all of it. And remember, you don't have to draw any final conclusions as you wonder, what the fuck just happened?